Wednesday, December 20th, 2017. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every weekday, and we talk sports, hopefully with a little bit of common sense, and we are happy to have you with us today. Happy Wednesday to you. We have reached the midpoint of the week, and I hate to point this out, but there are just 5 shopping days till Christmas. I hope for your sake that you're doing it all online. All the packages are coming. No one's stealing the packages off your porch. Going to the mall these days, just a huge waste of time. In fact, when you think about the malls, at least the malls in my area, the malls I've been to, it's really not that many stores even there anymore. It's just restaurants. So unless you're going to get someone a doggy bag, don't bother going to the malls. Make sure you knock that out online. But you only have 5 days left. Want to finish that up. If you would like to contact us, we would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or you can head over and find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Today on the show, we're going to talk some college football today. Do you realize that the early signing period for college football starts today? It's a little bit different. They've changed things up just recently. Going to talk about that a little bit. I want to talk about one of the hottest teams in the NBA. No, not the one you're thinking of. A different one. We do have some NFL news I want to discuss. We actually have a little bit of women's college hoops I want to discuss. And it is the holiday season. I just want to remind our listeners to remember that anything can happen at this magical time of the year. Plus, we will have our weekly segment, the Daily Dose Power Rankings. Got a lot of things to get to on this Wednesday. All of that and much, much more, and we will get to it all right after this. Like I said earlier, today begins the early signing period for college football. Players who choose to sign early can enroll at the college of their choice in the spring. That way, they can start getting ready a little bit earlier for the fall season. Now, here at the Daily Dose, we don't spend too much time on the class rankings. And the 5-star, and is he a 3-star, 4-star? Did they get a 2-star? Oh, they got 1 4-star, but he's really a 3-star. Oh, but he's a 3-star and a 5-star. I don't care. I don't care about that. It's nonsense. Most of it's completely contrived. There's no way to rate these kids accurately and honestly. And are you ranking them as they stand now? Are you ranking them as far as their potential? So it's all just kind of nonsense. What I do like to do is maybe just look at a broad picture. Just kind of the full picture. Did Alabama have another huge crop of kids? Did maybe a new coach pull in a big class? That's about all I really care to look at. I will say this, though, about the college football signing, college basketball signings that go on right now. I do get a little bit tired of the kids trying to be slick. You know, they've got the 3 hats, or they pull off a shirt, and then they pull off another shirt, and they pull off another hat, and trying to trick everybody and create some sort of drama with these schools. You know, that wouldn't work in any other walk of life. Like, here's an experiment you can try. The next time you're in the middle of a job search, say, let's just throw out some random corporate company. Say, like, Verizon and Sprint have both sent you a job offer. I dare you to ask their managers to come see you in, like, an empty office, and you have both hats on the table. Start to put one on. No, switch, put the other one on instead. See how that goes over. Let me know if those 2 job offers turn to 0, because I'm betting that they will. Better yet, try this with a couple of dating prospects. Like, have Monica on one hat and like Brianna on the other hat. Bring both girls in. See how that works out for you. Hopefully you escape alive. Again, don't try this at home. Might be a little bit dangerous. Just saying, kind of the teasing thing, and am I going to go here? It's a little bit tedious, isn't it? The Boca Raton Bowl took place last night. Of course, Florida Atlantic blew out Akron in that game. And you know, prior to the game, it was announced that Florida Atlantic had signed head coach Lane Kiffin to a 10-year deal after just his first season with the Owls. Hey, good for Lane. He's done a good job of getting his coaching career back on track. Lost a couple of tough jobs. Obviously, USC, Tennessee, the Raiders. He had a few things kind of going again. Wait a second. 10 years? They signed him to a 10-year deal. Does anyone really believe Lane Kiffin's going to be at Florida Atlantic for 10 years? I don't know if I believe Lane Kiffin will stay 10 more months with Florida Atlantic. And if you do, Lane Kiffin probably has some really good property down in the Everglades. He would love to sell you. Hey, tonight, Wednesday night, we do have another bowl game. The Frisco Bowl is being played in all places, Frisco, Texas. Yeah, kind of a coincidence. It is going to be between Louisiana Tech and SMU. Not really much CTV at all. Remember, SMU head coach Chad Morris, he left for Arkansas. Former Cal coach Sonny Dykes is going to be taking over SMU. He's going to inherit a pretty good offense, and we know Louisiana Tech, they can score some points. So if you are looking for that no-name bowl game that could maybe end up being kind of a high-scoring shootout, you may want to stop by at some point and see if these teams are like lighting up the scoreboard. Remember, the SMU players have to be a little bit invested here. They're trying to impress their new head coach. Some of them are going to be playing for their jobs. Could maybe possibly be a better game than you might think. You know, the NFL announced their 2018 Pro Bowl selections last night. Talk about those a little bit. Well, I guess I could talk about those a little bit. But you know what? I don't think I'm going to talk about those. Here's the deal about the NFL Pro Bowl. I don't care about the NFL Pro Bowl. Yes, like you kind of look and I saw some Steelers and the Saints got two running backs. You know, both their running backs got on first time since the 70s or whatever. And I don't care. Like, I care as much about the Pro Bowl as I do like NASCAR. So, like, I don't care. It's a fake game. Like, as much as I care about pro wrestling, same kind of thing as I care about the Pro Bowl. Like, it's staged, it's fake. I don't care. Let's get on to other NFL news. Because the Green Bay Packers did the smart thing. And yesterday, they put Aaron Rodgers back on the IR. You know, the Packers have been eliminated from the playoffs. And more importantly, this team can't protect him. If it was a situation where they were just eliminated from the playoffs, but they still had a good team around him, hey, go out and compete and let's go out and do something, that would be one thing. But this offensive line is bad. Aaron Rodgers is going to be put in bad situations. The defense isn't very good. So he's going to have to play a lot. He's going to have to do a lot of good things for this team. And it doesn't matter. It's all for nothing because they can't make the playoffs. So Aaron Rodgers is going to sit. Brett Hundley back in. I do wonder about that though. Like, how does Brett Hundley feel? Because like when Mike McCarthy sits him down and has that talk with him, you know, like, Brett, you know, now we've been eliminated from the postseason. Our team, you know, we're kind of struggling. We don't want Aaron to get killed. So what we're thinking, Brett, maybe we're going to go ahead and go with you as the starter and put you back in. Coach, I mean, I don't want to get killed either. Well, Brett, you know, we have considered that. We've kicked it around, talked about it a little bit in coaching staff meetings. But here's the thing, Brett, and I'm going to be brutally honest here. We've decided it's a risk we're willing to take with you because, like, you're expendable. Oh, and by the way, it's going to be about 13 degrees on Sunday for the Vikings game. Dress warm. Bye-bye now. Yeah, I wonder how Brett feels about that. Seems like that would be a little bit tough to take. We're going to protect Aaron Rodgers, and we're going to throw you to the Lions. Good luck. Hey, who is one of the hottest teams in the NBA right now? There's a few teams out there playing pretty good basketball. The Boston Celtics have cooled off just a little bit, but they're still pretty good. The Cleveland Cavaliers, they've been pretty hot. Golden State Warriors, playing pretty good basketball even without Steph Curry in the lineup. And of course, the Houston Rockets are scorching hot right now. They still haven't lost a game since they got Chris Paul back from injury. But I'm actually not talking about any of those teams. I'm not talking about any of the good teams. So right now, Daily Dose listener, if you're thinking, which one of the good teams? Like, who's good this year? No. I'm not talking about the good teams. I'm talking about the lowly, dreadful Chicago Bulls. Do you realize Chicago has won 6 games in a row? Which doesn't really make a whole lot of sense because they don't really have, like, what's the best way to say this? They don't really have good players. It wasn't as hard as I thought it would be, actually. But the Bulls started the season 3-20. Why? Again, because they don't have very good players. Remember, Jimmy Butler is gone. Dwayne Wade is gone. Taj Gibson is gone. Michael Carter Williams is gone. In fact, who in the world is even playing for the Chicago Bulls right now? The Bulls right now are being led in scoring by Nikola Mirotic. He's playing pretty well. Rookie Lauri Markkanen is playing pretty good too. Justin Holiday, Chris Dunn, and Robin Lopez, they're all kind of chipping in. Remember, the Chicago Bulls were widely expected to be the worst team in the league this year. How have they won 6 games in a row? They now have 9 wins on the season. They're not the worst team. They're not even second to worst in the NBA. Right now, out of 30 teams, Chicago is 27th. Boom, take that, NBA prognosticators. Now, can Chicago keep up this pace? No, because, you know, like we said, they don't really have good players. But think about this streak that they have put together. They've beat the Celtics. They've beat the Philadelphia 76ers. They've beaten the New York Knicks. They beat the Utah Jazz. That's not terrible. I have to say, I give a little bit of a thumbs up to head coach Fred Hoiberg, who probably should have already been fired, but he's kind of found something, hasn't he? You know, we're really, really quick to fire coaches. Like, the second things go bad, we want our coach fired. Maybe, I know it's a little early, but maybe sticking with someone like Fred Hoiberg will pay off for Chicago. They're playing respectable basketball right now, and prior to the season, no one expected them to do that. Of course, Christmas is on Monday. Now, I don't know if you celebrate Christmas. Doesn't really matter. Whatever you celebrate, this is kind of a holiday season, right? So maybe you celebrate Christmas. Maybe you celebrate Hanukkah. Maybe you celebrate Kwanzaa, winter solstice, Festivus.
A Festivus for the rest of us.
Whatever. This is the time of year that miracles can happen, isn't it? Like, anything can happen at this magical time. Like, I know around the Christmas time, you just kind of feel like, oh man, look at all the possibilities that might take place. Like, anything could happen. When you were a kid and you rushed down the stairs and you looked at what was under the tree, anything could be in there. Like, anything can happen at this time of the year. It is a magical time of the year. When you think about what actually goes into Christmas and what's actually happening here, like, anything can happen. Well, except for some things can't really happen. Here's what I mean. When you think about Santa Claus getting all the toys out to everywhere he has to go, in order to do that, Santa's sleigh is moving at around 650 miles per second. That's 3,000 times the speed of sound. Do you realize how amazing that is? And yet somehow, the Cleveland Browns still can't even get close to the NFL playoffs. Kind of amazing, you know, when you think of the realm of possibilities. Somehow, Santa has reindeer. And I know we call them reindeer, like, they're caribou, right? They're caribou. And they have to fly for around 31, 32 total hours, despite the fact caribou are physically incapable of flight. Like, that's amazing. That's magical. Yet, I never see an NBA superstar get called for traveling. Like, when you think of the realm of possibilities, again, it's amazing the things we're seeing during this Christmas season. And then on the other side, you know, sports, not always as miraculous. Because the next time you see Dwayne Wade or LeBron get called for traveling, yeah, it's going to be the first time. That doesn't happen. Karl Malone made a career out of traveling. Never got called. It is estimated that Santa Claus's sleigh is loaded with 1 million tons of presents. That's impressive. And I mean, he fills that thing up every single year. That is amazing. Yet somehow, a Canadian team, Canada, a place that loves hockey more than life itself, hasn't won a Stanley Cup since like the 90s. Aww. What is that about? Do you see what I mean? It's a time for miracles, but it's also a time where we realize, yeah, some of these things aren't always happening in sports. Santa Claus travels over 75 million miles in one single night. He's been doing it for years. Yet the Buffalo Bills can't win a Super Bowl. They haven't even been to the playoffs in 18 years. It's a magical time of the year. It's estimated Santa Claus stops at over 90 million homes that celebrate the holiday of Christmas. Yet the NFL still can't come up with a rule about what a catch is that makes any semblance of sense. Like, when you think of football, like the game of football, not soccer, but American football. I know soccer kind of gets confusing if you're listening to this overseas or whatever, but you should be calling it feetball. Still, football here in America, in order to advance the ball, there's only three ways you can advance the ball, right? You run it, you pass it, or you catch it. The National Football League only has two of those three actually figured out. The third, the catching, they still haven't figured out. It's baffling to me. the things we're seeing Santa do, yet sports-wise, we don't see the same kind of things correspond. Not nearly as amazing. Because why can't the NFL figure out what it can? They said the other night that you're not completing the catch to the ground or the ground. The ground contributed. Somehow the ground has gotten involved in the whole catching thing. I thought it was catching 2 feet and possession of the ball. Now, can the ground do some? I don't know. It's very confusing. This whole thing is confusing. It's a confusing time of year. Again, Santa manages to hit those 90 million homes. He eats a cookie. He drinks some milk at each one of them. That's 90 million cookies, 90 million glasses of milk. That's like 20 billion calories in one single night. And yet, that whole situation is way more realistic than us ever seeing a team outside the Big Five conferences make it to the college football playoff. Way more realistic there. Because we're never going to see. I know how they say never. I'm saying never. We'll never see a team outside the Big Five conferences make to the college football playoff. This year, we're seeing two teams from the same conference. You think they're going to dip into like Conference USA? The MAC? Yeah, that's not happening ever. That's never, ever happening. Kind of confusing. Here's another confusing thing. Santa eats all those cookies. He drinks all of that milk. And at least to my knowledge, and maybe I, you know, have this mixed up, dude is not stopping off for a bathroom break at any of the 90 million homes. Like when you were a kid and you went down, you looked at the tree, maybe you had a chimney, maybe he had to come in through the door, whatever it might have been. You never checked your bathroom, did you? Like you didn't check the bath. So did Santa use the bathroom? Like he's got to use the bathroom. 90 million places? Like 90 million stops? 90 million big gulps? Come on. Like you had to stop somewhere. Never stops. And that's kind of hard to believe, but it's easier to believe that than to believe the Pittsburgh Steelers will actually beat the New England Patriots anytime soon, isn't it? I could totally see that happening. Pittsburgh beating New England? No, I can't see that. I could totally see Santa surviving the whole trip. It's 32 hours. It's like a camel. Dude just sucks it up. He's sweating. He's putting in work. I can see him doing that. A lot easier than I can see Pittsburgh beating New England. Like, that doesn't even sit well with me. That doesn't even make sense to me. Finally, you know, rumor has it that Santa only brings presents to the good kids. Right? Isn't that what they say? Sees you when you're sleeping, knows when you're awake, knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake, right? Otherwise, you're not getting anything, right? I'm not so sure I'm believing that. Because I remember as a kid, and even now, I see some of the worst kids in the whole neighborhood. They got the best presents. Like, check around your neighborhood, check around your apartment or wherever it is that you live. A lot of times, it's the worst kids getting the really, really good stuff. That's how it was when I was growing up. The bratty kids got the better stuff, right? Well, I guess in that regard, it does kind of mirror sports. Because, I mean, when you think about it, it's kind of like, you know, the New York Yankees, the New England Patriots, Alabama. Like, they're some of the least behaved fan bases and just some of the most obnoxious fan bases. And yet, for the most part, they just keep getting good stuff most year after year after year. So, yeah, miracles do happen. Not always in sports, but sometimes it's kind of the same thing. Hey, coming back, we are going to have our Hump Day Daily Dose Power Rankings as college football bowl season is heating up. You know, I want you to think back to what you're going to remember from this college football season and what were the best games that might stand out to you. Just a quick reminder to make sure that you do any of that last second holiday shopping that you need to over at lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can get all the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. December's Loot Crate theme is called Explore, and it features items from Guardians of the Galaxy, Star Wars, and Destiny. And you might not realize this, but today is the final day you can order the December Loot Crate. You have until 9 p.m. tonight. So if you want that December Loot Crate, you better hurry. But they do have a ton of other items over there from any other franchise you could possibly think of. And the best part about ordering from Loot Crate is when you check out, just make sure you type in Daily Dose, D-A-L-Y-D-O-S-E, in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of that Loot Crate order, which kind of helps a little bit because we know this time of year, money gets a little bit tight, doesn't it? 10% might help you a little bit here and there. Hey, women's college basketball saw not one, but two division coaches get their 1,000th career victory on Tuesday. UConn's Gino Auriemma, he hit a grand with his number one Huskies victory over Oklahoma. And actually, earlier in the day, North Carolina's Sylvia Hatchell, she got her 1,000th win when the North Carolina Tar Heels beat Grambling State. Auriemma and Hatchell joined the late Pat Summitt of Tennessee and Tara Vandiver on the women's side, and then Duke's Mike Krzyzewski over on the men's side as Division I basketball coaches that have now won 1,000 games. Pretty amazing, Mark. When you think of all the different teams, the different players, the different recruiting, all the things you have to get 1,000 wins? I mean, that's a long, long time, and winning a lot of games every single year. You know, I do always get asked this question. As a former coach and someone that coached both on the boys' side and the girls' side, at least at the high school level, could someone like Gino Auriemma or Pat Summitt coach on the men's side? Yes. Easy answer. Without question, yes. Their personalities, their leadership, their teaching ability, please. I mean, they both would be phenomenal wherever they coach. They could coach football. It wouldn't make any difference. I've seen Pat Summitt up close. Wouldn't make any difference. You know, I've been around a number of great coaches, and I've told this on the dose before. I'm telling you right now, no one made me jump quicker than Pat Summitt. There's no question. Both of these coaches, Sylvia Hatchell as well, would have been phenomenal no matter what they did. They just are great leaders. They just are great teachers. And that's what coaching is at the end of the day. Hey, you know, we've got to get to our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings, where we rank something, but it's something current. So this week on the Power Rankings, with college football bowl season getting rolling, we just kind of wanted to think back to what we're going to remember from the college football season this year. I realize we're going to have some memorable moments in these upcoming bowls, but what were the best games from the college football regular season? Here are five games that stand out to me. Number five is probably when Alabama beat Mississippi State back in November. You know, Alabama trailed the Bulldogs for most of this game. In the final 31 seconds, with the score tied at 24, Alabama quarterback Jalen Hurts connected with receiver Calvin Ridley on a 3rd and 15, picked up a 31-yard first down. Then Hurts hooked up with Devontae Smith for a 26-yard touchdown on the very next play to give the Crimson Tide the lead. Here is a clip from ESPN.
Hurts, over the middle, it's caught inside the 10-yard line. Broken tackle, Devontae Smith, touchdown Bama!
But see, even after that, Mississippi State wouldn't go away. When quarterback Nick Fitzgerald threw up this Hail Mary, the Bulldogs still had some hope in the late seconds.
Alabama drops four guys deep into the end zone. Fitzgerald backing up, now stepping up, letting it fly. Into the end zone, it is knocked away, incomplete, but a flag. A flag is thrown with no time left. Alabama's rushing the field, but we may have one more play here in Starkville.
Pass interference, defense number 42. 50 yards, 30, spot. Automatic first down.
Okay, so they're going to get one more try. Now, I will say this. You know what makes Aaron Rodgers such a good Hail Mary quarterback? He keeps the ball in the field of play, and he throws it up high. Gives his receivers a chance. Whatever you do, keep the ball in the field of play. Give your receivers a chance to go up and get it. Yeah, Nick Fitzgerald hasn't learned that yet.
A penalty on Alabama. Fitzgerald backs up. Now launches it into the end zone, and he throws it too far. He throws it out of the back of the end zone. The game is over. Alabama survives.
So that's our number five game. Alabama versus Mississippi State was a pretty entertaining game, pretty fun game. That was back on November 11th. Next up on our list of most memorable college football games of the regular season, you know, we dubbed this the Remax Bowl here on the Daily Dose. UCLA's Jim Mora Jr. squared off with Texas A&M's Kevin Sumlin, and we said that the loser would probably lose their job. Well, they did eventually. Then again, so did the winner. But what a game this was. Remember, this was clear back in the beginning of September. Texas A&M stormed out to a 44-10 lead late in the third quarter. But UCLA came all the way back. They rolled off 28 straight points. They got the ball back with just over 2 minutes to play. And Josh Rosen led the Bruins down to the 10-yard line with less than a minute to play. He ran the fake spike that Ben Roethlisberger can't apparently run. And then threw the game-winning touchdown right here. Here's a clip from Fox.
Field, which was Jamabo, and he just dumps it off for a first down.
Rosen fakes the spike. In the end zone, touchdown! Whoa! Jordan Lasley, the legend of Josh Rosen, in full bloom. Dan Marino will be proud.
You know, the UCLA got a huge comeback win. Everybody got all excited about what the Bruins were going to do. I know they ended up going 6-6 and underachieving, but still, very, very memorable game in the regular season college football this year. Number three on our list of best college football games. You know, the Black Knights of Army have been through some pretty lean times. Since they last won the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy in 96, Army has gone 64-172. They've only made it to like two or three bowl games. But last year, Army somehow managed to surprise Navy, and they beat them for the first time in 16 years. This season, Army was pretty tough. They went 8-3 and they beat Air Force. So they went into their biggest rivalry game against 6-5 Navy, who was still a little bit of a favorite over Army. And it was looking like the bookmakers got it right as Navy took the lead in the second quarter, held on until late in the fourth. This was such a fun game. Snow was flying. The cadets and the midshipmen were screaming their heads off. The game was just a hard-hitting battle. Right at the end, late in the fourth quarter, Army quarterback Ahmad Bradshaw plunged in from the one. It was actually kind of hard to tell if he had gotten in on the score or not. Here's a clip from CBS.
It's Bradshaw straight ahead. No signal yet. Unpiling bodies. Army thinks they're in. The linesman trying to get everybody out of the way. Still no call.
Bradshaw says, come on, my knees are over the line. Oh, they're calling it a
touchdown.
Touchdown, yes.
Hey, but the game wasn't over. Navy managed to put together a pretty incredible drive themselves, but back-to-back motion penalties forced them to settle for a 48-yard field goal as time expired. Here's another clip from CBS.
Morning. 48-yarder on the way. No good! Army, for the second year, has won it!
Army versus Navy, one of the most memorable games of the college football season. It featured two teams that aren't even ranked, but what a fun game that was. Going up to number two on our list, you know, if you had told us at the beginning of the season that one of these teams would be ranked in the top 15, we probably would have thought it would have been South Florida, but instead it was Central Florida, a team that had a winless season just 2 years ago. But Central Florida rolled through this year under head coach Scott Frost, and the Friday after Thanksgiving, Central Florida and South Florida put on an offensive show. There were nearly 90 points scored. Over 1,000 yards of offense combined. You know, Central Florida took a late 8-point lead on this pass from Mackenzie Milton to Otis Anderson. Here's a clip from Fox.
Big blitz from the Bulls. It's a screen against the blitz. The perfect play. Otis Anderson may have sealed the deal for UCLA.
But then South Florida tied it up here on an 83-yard pass from Quentin Flowers to Darner Solomon with less than 2 minutes to play.
Clock moves inside of 2 minutes. Flowers has a man. It is caught! Darner Solomon, touchdown Bulls!
South Florida went for two, and the game was tied at 42. This amazing game looked like it was headed for overtime. But then South Florida kicked off, and this happened.
Mike Hughes with a head of steam. And Mike Hughes, the kicker to beat. Do you believe it? Knights take the lead on a Hughes touchdown.
Okay, so the best game of this year's college football season for me was one that took place just before Halloween. The Penn State Nittany Lions were looking like they were on a mission to go to the college football playoff. They were loaded with talent. They were off to an undefeated start. They were ranked number two in the country, while Ohio State had already been thumped by Oklahoma at home. It looked like this was going to be the same storyline on this day, because Penn State jumped out to a 28-10 lead. But then that Buckeyes defense started to slow down Penn State's offense. And JT Barrett started to warm up for Ohio State. He threw two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. They got close. They closed the lead to 38-33, and when Penn State had to punt again, JT Barrett managed to drive Ohio State for the winning score. Here is a clip from Fox. Hey, we're going to have some very fun bowl games coming up, but we've already seen some great college football games this season, and it should be even more fun going forward. Hey, tomorrow on The Dose, we will, of course, be discussing the latest sports news. And you know, there are a few holiday presents that you might want to be sure that you avoid. And as usual, on Thursday, we will have our Daily Dose overreactions of the week. Hey, have to say thank you so much to all of you for listening to the show. Doing the daily show now, it is obviously much different. It has a different feel to it. I know for me, a lot more preparation and that kind of thing, getting ready. But thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for sharing the show. It is greatly appreciated. All we can do to get the show heard by more people is a better thing. Like we've always said, the bigger the dose gets, the better it's going to get. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful Wednesday, everybody.